Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining me today. Well, I'm continuing on in a message which I've entitled Holding On to His Unchanging Hand. And we've been looking at that beautiful passage of Scripture in Isaiah 41:13, which says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." And yesterday we looked at several passages in Psalm 18 when it talked about David, who talked about the sorrows of death compassing him about and floods of ungodly people, and God's reaction and God's response, how he bowed the heavens and came down, and he was wroth and he was angry, and there were thunderbolts and lightnings. That is the sign of our God. Just like, can you imagine, a bear robbed of her whelps than to meet a foolish man? That scripture just popped in my mind from Proverbs. Can you imagine? I mean, I've heard stories of, you know, out in the wilderness, if there was a mother bear with her cubs, you don't want to be anywhere near her because she's furious. And that was a picture. I mean, the Lord just kind of lost it, if I can use that word. He didn't lose it, of course, but I mean, he was furious. It was like Jesus in the temple. I mean, he did that twice at the beginning, at the very end of his ministry. He braided a whip and I would love to see that. I hope they have that on video in heaven. He overthrew the table. He drove out the money changers. And it wasn't a temper tantrum. No, he was moved by the zeal of his God, of his Father. He was demonstrating how we ought to react to unrighteousness and iniquity. We love the sinner. Of course, he had that ability. He had the right. That was his Father's house. You've made my Father's house a den of thieves. You've made my Father's house a house of merchandise. And it is to be called a house of prayer. And so, beloved, God responds in powerful ways. He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Don't you know that? I mean, I don't know where it is in Scripture right now. Another biblical story comes to mind where Jesus saw this woman who had lost her only son, and there was a tremendous funeral caravan. They were carrying him and just to bury him, and she didn't ask the Lord. She didn't do anything. There was just grief and sorrow, and he was touched, and he told her not to weep, and he raised that young man from the dead and gave him back to his mother, who was the only child, and she was a widow. And so obviously God is so concerned about us. But I want to share, as we go on in the message, 2 Corinthians the 4th chapter, and there the Word of God says, this is Paul speaking, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." And a little later in that book, I love Paul. I can hardly wait to meet him in heaven. The longer I walk with God, the more I read his word, the more I appreciate the beauty of that man's character and what he did as a Jew to forsake, at least in terms of their natural mind, his natural brethren, to go to the Gentiles in obedience to God. He's called, quote, the apostle of the Gentiles. Peter stayed a good part, especially in the early part of the ministry, in Jerusalem. He ministered to the Jews, but God raised up Paul specifically to minister to the Gentiles and wrote most of the New Testament. He had tremendous knowledge and revelation, which God gave him, of course, after he got saved. He had, other than before that, he was a legalistic Pharisee who just wanted to kill the Christians. But he goes on in that 11th chapter, and he goes on, he said, I'm a fool. He's talking about these super apostles. And he said, in labors, are they ministers of God? I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Listen to this. Listen to what he went through. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 30, that was the legal limit, 39. Thrice I was beaten with rods on his feet. Oh, can you imagine what that was like? Once I was stoned, left for dead. He brought him back to life. We don't even see this in the scriptures, but thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things, if that wasn't enough, that are without the external things, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is offended and I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. For when I am weak, Paul said, then I am strong. Now, why did Paul have to go through all these things? Well, I think one of the reasons is because God knew he was going to pen those immortal words for us. As we read the pages of God's word, none of us have gone through what he has endured. And those positive, beautiful words of hope and encouragement, those beautiful words he wrote in the Philippian jail, that horrid place where people just died in those dungeons, he was able to say that it's the joy epistle, if you will. And God allowed him to go through that he could speak from conviction, from experience, the words that he writes to us. So when he said they were troubled, but they weren't distressed, they were perplexed, confused, but they weren't despairing, they were persecuted, but God didn't leave them, they were cast down, but you know what? They weren't destroyed. Micah said, blessed is the man falls down 7 times, the Lord will cause him to arise. When he sits in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto him. Beloved, you may be so perplexed today, you can't choose which path to take. But God says, here I am, this is the way, walk ye in it. The Holy Spirit will give you answers, beloved. God has all the answers to all of our problems. We may not know the answer. We don't know how he's going to work things out, but he will. He can make a way that, as we say, where there seems to be no way. Sometimes God is trying to speak to our hearts, but we don't listen. Sometimes we're in such despair, we can't even experience him reaching out to us. And when the flood waters start rising and you feel like you're about to sink, God will guide you right out of the whirlpool and take you to higher ground, just like he did for David, just like he did for Paul. God's word may seem to give answers that are outside of human reason, but beloved, God doesn't work according to our mental limitations. To the child of God who will hear and listen to what God says, he is undefeatable. That's why we're conquerors, we're overcomers, more than conquerors. Many Christians wonder why they are under such strong attack. And sometimes if we get away from the Lord, if we allow unrepentant sin in our lives, if we're doing things we shouldn't be doing, things can get pretty rough and uncomfortable. And obviously that's God's way of bringing us back to repentance, bringing us back to our senses, just like the prodigal son. It says he came to his senses among the pig pen and discovered, you know what, my father's servants are better off than I am, so I think I'll go back. And so that's sometimes why God allows the work of the enemy to come against us, but that's not the case in every situation. That's why, beloved, we should not judge. because we don't know what is going on in another person's life generally. We don't know their heart. Only God does. And sometimes when we're under such strong attack, it's simply for this reason, is because you are walking in line with the Word of God. Look at all the attacks that God allowed. They were of the enemy to come against Paul. Yet he was so obedient to the Lord. He was not, as at one point, who was he talking to? I don't know, some Roman governor. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. That's what he said. And so you may be among those who love the Lord with all of your heart, and you might feel you are under and are under tremendous attack. The reason is because the devil hates you and you're walking according to God's word. Some professing Christians say how much they love God, but then they repudiate their confession with their actions. You would think the devil would treat such people with a little better care, but he doesn't. He hates us. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to distinguish between those who are generally walking with God and those who are just playing at serving God, who are just doing him a lip service, who just look good. Beloved, there is a difference. I trust you know that. The obedient Christian may be going through severe testing, just like Paul, but they still praise God. They still stand faithful to their post. They don't make excuses. They don't complain. They don't murmur. When it comes time for them to be at their place, you know, in the marketplace, at work, or in church, they're there. Nothing is more important to them than serving God, being a good example to their friends and family, loved ones. The difference is God, for those who are walking in obedience, God will reach down his hand to help you. Praise God. Well, my time, I just can't believe how the time is flying by this week on the broadcast. So I must bring this broadcast to a close. And as I do, always, I invite you, if you have prayer needs, sometimes you need God's ministry and the power of agreeing prayer. If you want to email, I will pray for you. If you want me to respond back, which I do, that's the ministry of correspondence, which people have, some of them have got binders from letters, decades, even Brother Glass's letters, they keep them. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you, pray for you daily, and I thank you also for your prayer support. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,